With your Bibles open now at 1 John chapter 5, let me read to you verses 14 through 21 from my Greek Hebrew Bible, but I encourage you to follow through the reading with whatever translation you have before you. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not unto death. We know that whatever is born of God sinneth not, or whoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. As I taught you some time ago, verse 21 of 1 John 5, those words there, little children, keep yourselves from idols. They were the last words to enter the canon of Scripture. Now this morning we're going to look at the verse, and indeed around the verse. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The word confidence is better translated boldness. In our introductory remarks, we have already studied something of the prayer promise. And we did that when we studied 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21 and 22. But today we are turning to this lovely promise, which tells us that it is possible for us to pray and not only get the things we pray for, but to know beforehand that our prayer is heard and answered. A statement like that sometimes causes people to be a little bit confused. And rightfully so, until you understand the sovereignty of God. And it's when we understand the sovereignty of God and how God works that we can accept the great fact that even before we pray, if we are born of God and in the will of God, even before we pray, the prayer is answered. You've had experiences somewhere along life's line like that. Before you prayed, the prayer was answered. We won't have time this morning to explain in detail the sovereignty of God. But did you know that the Bible, the Word of God, gives many reasons why we should pray? Yet I think it's fair to say that there are many people who do not think that it is important or necessary to pray. For example, how many Christians pray? Daily. Not very many. Christians are like non-believers. They pray when they're in a tight spot. But then there are some Christians who are very, very dedicated to prayer. And I don't mean continually putting yourself in a closet and on your knees. I don't mean that at all. When I talk about continually giving to prayer, that is, they are keeping short accounts with God. Driving the car with their eyes open, of course, they can keep short accounts with God in prayer. You can pray while you wash up the dishes. You can pray while you wash the nappies or you change the baby's nappy. Plenty of ways in which you can pray. You don't have to be in a precise spot at a precise moment, nor do you have to pray in a precise way. Prayer is just simply talking to God. You know, some people say, well, I don't feel like praying. I've got to get that feeling. Well, you don't have to get any feeling to pray. Feeling has nothing to do with prayer. You see, the Bible teaches very clear that prayer must be regular. It must be a common practice in our lives. For indeed, prayer is our spiritual breath and life. And really, we can't live spiritually without it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, whilst here on earth, He taught us many things about prayer. He really needed to pray. And regarding his prayer life, we can only take one or two passages this morning, because we could spend an entire year in messages on the prayer life of Christ. But we read in Matthew 14:23 these words, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Now just think of that for a moment. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, talking in private with his Heavenly Father. And when you think about that, and you realize that if the Son of God prayed, how much more do we need to pray to our Heavenly Father? Then in Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Have you ever wondered why many people do not pray, if they do come to a prayer meeting, that is, that they do not pray for any length of time? Usually that is because they don't know how to pray for any length of time. If you want to play tennis, then you have to practice for hours and hours and hours to become a good tennis player. If you want to become a golfer like the big white shark, you have to practice for hours and hours and hours. I remember when I was doing some rodeo riding, you just didn't come up to the chute and get on the beast and hope to stay there. You had done hours and hours and hours of riding before, and you had many and many a fall. And so it is with prayer. If you're constantly in prayer day in and day out with God, keeping short accounts with him, you'll be able to pray for 24 hours without ceasing. No problem. But not only are we to take time from a busy day to pray, we must pray from time to time during the day. You see, when we have constant fellowship with God in prayer, we are stronger spiritually. And this is not only a command or a responsibility which we have from Christ, but beloved, thank God it is a privilege, it is a joy and a blessing to be able to pray. There is power in prayer. But how many Christians pray? You know, the prayer meeting in every church of every denomination in every part of the world is the least attended. Or we can do all kinds of other things, can't we? We can get involved in all kinds of programs. But we don't pray as we should. And there's a very good reason why we don't pray as we should. Because we don't know how to. And we don't take seriously the claims of the Bible about prayer. No wonder sometimes prayers are not answered. I want you to listen very carefully to your study today. Now, as we look at point one, we see that verse 14 and 15 of 1 John 5, they are very clear and they are very explicit. You see, the promise regarding prayer, which is made here in this passage of Scripture, is made to a particular class of people. And in verse 13, you have the answer. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, you haven't forgotten the sermon on eternal life, surely. You know how we all learned from the Word of God. We learned that the Son of God resides in us through the ministry and operation of God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Scripture is very clear, and it teaches that only those who are born of God, those who have the eternal Son of God within them, who have the right to be heard by God in prayer. When I was traveling around as an evangelist, a lot of people would get caught up in the emotion of the whole crusade, and they would say to us as we were leaving, "We will pray for you." And I would get on the plane and I would say to Beryl, "They've forgotten us." And they had, generally speaking. So John is speaking to a particular class of people. Now, if we are to come before God with confidence or boldness that he will hear and answer our prayer, we must be Christians born of God and in fellowship with God. We must know the Lord and be known of him. What did he say once he was here on earth? My sheep know my voice, and I know theirs. No wonder there's coming a day when Jesus is going to say to many who sit in the pews of churches over the years and the centuries, no wonder he's going to say to them on that day, depart from me, I never knew you. You and I never had a conversation. Oh, he sees you sit in church. He sees all the programs that you're involved in. But you don't know him, because you never sit down and talk with him. Should have been talking with him yesterday. But you're too busy. And one day he's going to say, depart from me, I never ever knew you. Oh yes, we must know the Lord and be known of him. This promise here also reminds us that prayer is necessary for the accomplishment of God's will. Now the Bible's very clear in many passages on this great subject. But there are some things that the Lord only does when his people pray. If prayer is offered, God works. We were reminded of that when our brother prayed. God is sovereign. And if prayer is not offered, then God does not work. Not because God doesn't want to work, but God answers and his sovereign will is executed when his people pray. On the front of your bulletin, you have 2 Chronicles 7:14, and what does it say? If my people, he's not talking about other people, he's not talking about the football team or the cricket team or the golf team, he says, if my people, notice the personal possessive pronoun, which are called by my name, that is, have his personification. Throughout Hebrew culture and Hebrew literature, when the name was mentioned, the personified person was also understood. So when you pray in the name of Christ, you pray in the person of Christ. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, notice there's got to be humility there, and seek my face. And the only time you can ever seek the face of God is in prayer. And turn from their wicked ways. Are we prepared to turn from our wicked ways? Are we? Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now, one of the greatest tragedies today in Christendom is this, that there are many people running around, shooting off their mouth, and saying, Bob Hawke's at fault, Premier Joe's at fault, Neville Rand's at fault, Ronald Reagan's at fault. They may be at fault, but I'll tell you who is at fault, the people of God. God could change Bob Hawke in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And how would he do it? He'd do it if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to tell you today that all the pornography, all the alcoholism, and all of the sin in this land of Australia is there because Christians do not pray. We are guilty. We are responsible for the way the nation is. We are like junk, running away from our responsibilities. We're trying to take a ship to Tarshish. We want to get out of the world environment. We want to get into our little seclusion, whatever that seclusion may be. But no matter how we try, God still says you are guilty. You, my people, you are guilty. Ponder that, beloved. Ponder that. Then I look at this promise and I see that it makes confidence in prayer. It makes boldness in prayer. It makes boldness in prayer dependent upon our asking according to his will. Oh, maybe you have never yet been in a situation where you have to use the boldness of prayer, the confidence of prayer, but you will be. Take time. God is very patient with you. Now there's a deep truth here which we must understand regarding prayer. For God to answer prayer which does not harmonize with His will would be for Him to do that which is inconsistent with His nature. God, being God, will not allow Himself to answer any prayer that is not in harmony with His will. Our prayer that is not according to His will never force the hand of God. Indeed, prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our wills upon God or hoping to bend His will to ours. However, it is through prayer that we seek God's will, we embrace it, and we align ourselves with it. And what is the will of God? The will of God is that you should pray. One great scholar has said, prayer of faith is all prevailing when it is in accordance with God's will. Think of Elijah there on Mount Carmel. And all the prophets of Baal had ranted and raved. And there on Carmel, Elijah just comes quietly. And what does he say? Have a look at it. 1 Kings 18, turn back in your Bible. There they are on top of Mount Carmel. And Elijah steps forward now to pray after the prophets of Baal have really prayed and ranted and raved. And this dear servant of God steps forward. What does he say? Let's read it very, very carefully in verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Oh, the boldness of Elijah, the confidence of Elijah, and that I am thy servant, the boldness of the man, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Or literally translated, I have done all these things according to thy word and according to thy command. Thou art the God of Israel. I am thy servant. But let it be known now, this day, not tomorrow, but today. Can you pray like that? Then I notice that the promise here is given not to hinder our asking, but to encourage it. One truth that the Bible does teach is this. To pray according to His will does not mean asking for less, but for more. And if it means asking for more, it means receiving more. Jesus said on one occasion, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful promise? If we really desire God's will when we pray, God shows us in His Word so plainly that we can come to Him as His children in simple faith and believe Him for an answer. Then the promise also implies that we may be absolutely sure of God's will when we pray. See, the Bible clearly teaches that we may be absolutely sure of God's will. And if we are sure of His will when we pray, we are absolutely sure of the answer. In Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, can you believe today, this very day, that God hears and answers prayer, even your prayers, if you're in the will of God? Very important for us to remember that. But you see, Jesus says here that all things are possible to him that believeth, not to him that merely hopeth or feeleth or figureth out in his own mind as to how things may turn out, whether or not it is possible, but to him that believeth God, Jesus said. If we continue our study this morning, I believe we're coming to grips with prayer. And I know that many of you are asking some vital questions. You perhaps are asking, how may we be sure of God's will when we pray? Well, let me say that there may be things that you need to come to grips with. You need to tell God about, in confession, first of all. Many people ask that question. The truth of the matter is simply this. There are two ways in which we may be absolutely sure of God's will when we come before Him in prayer. One is, God reveals His will by His Word, by the Bible. Secondly, God reveals His will by His Spirit. Now let's quickly look at this one. Point two, God reveals His will by His Word. Now let me say first of all to you, that the will of God is not revealed in experience. It is revealed in the Word of God. Let me just take one or two quick examples. You will know, and know assuredly, when you are in the will of God, that you can pray with boldness for your unconverted friends. Why are the unconverted saved? They're saved because people are approaching God with the boldness of prayer. Also, we may know that we are praying in line, that is, in line with God's will, when we ask for sanctification for those who are already saved. There are many passages of Scripture, but you might like to write down two. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 and Ephesians 3:13 through 19. Now, this one in Ephesians, Paul speaks of prayer for the Christians at Ephesus to be sanctified. That is, to be kept. And that is why we should be praying for one another. The Bible says to pray for one another, not at one another. But what did Paul mean when he spoke like that? He meant that we can pray with confidence or boldness for our Christian friend or loved one in Christ who perhaps is weak. If any man see his brother sin, a sin, John says, and it's not the sin unto death, but you can't alter the sin unto death, and I'll teach you that one of these days. But he says, if you see your brother sin, pray for him. Pray that he'll be sanctified, set apart from the sin. Also, we know it's God's will to give us wisdom. James 1:5 teaches that. So does 2 Chronicles 1, verses 9 through 12. Now, here again, the Christian who is born of God may ask God for wisdom and receive it. Well, there are a lot of other illustrations that I could give you from the Bible, but time doesn't permit it. But there are some promises that you will never find in the Bible. And they're promises that have been made up by man. You'll never find, for example, God giving you clear instruction as to how to get married, or who you should marry, or He'll give you the guidelines as to what kind of a person, but He won't give you the precise person. You might pray, how shall I buy a house? Well, God says use your common sense. You might say, well, how shall I buy a car? God says use your common sense. How shall I arrange a holiday? God says use your common sense. But you know, Christians will say, I pray about it. Do you? Beloved people, let me teach you a tremendous truth this morning, and I hope you never forget it. There are no specific promises in the Bible that assure us of God's will concerning these basic matters. You see, Christians wallow all their life in their pigsties, and they go round and 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 round in the muck, and never know how to pray. God will teach you through the Word, but let me also encourage you that God reveals His will by His Spirit. I want you to turn now to Romans 8, 26, 27. What does it say? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, there's a great truth here in the mind of Paul. That is, he says, we may know God's will concerning certain matters. But the Holy Spirit, who is God and who dwells within us, comes to our aid on this occasion and actually inspires the prayer within us, which is in full accord with God's will. Now, God doesn't give you the specific because it's not there to give you. But what He does give you is a calmness. And He gives you enough wisdom to use the common sense that you have in whatever the matter may be. He In very simple language, if we yield to God and seek His will, God will make His will known to us. Then we can pray with confidence. And it's very clear here from Romans 8:27 that the prayer in which the Holy Spirit leads us is the prayer according to the will of God. That's when you'll have the peace about buying the motor car, buying the house, or whatever. And it's got nothing to do with the true value of prayer that's laid down in the Bible. But because you're in the will of God and God doesn't want to see you err, He guides you. That is, if you listen to Him. Because if you don't listen to Him, He won't guide you. Now, there's no set pattern in the Bible that says, Ron Baker, I want you at Mount Gravatt to pastor that church for X amount of years. No specific in the Bible that would give me guidance. I can look at all the passages of Scripture and say, well, Lord, it's your church. I'm your gifted servant. You want to put me there? That's okay by you. But how did I get the peace and how did I get the assurance that it was right to come here? By allowing the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give me confirmation with my own spirit, and to give me a quietness and a peace and an assurance that it was right. And this is why the ministry of the Holy Spirit is very important in bringing assurance to us about every move we make. There was one time when I prayed about going to Scotland, and I had no peace about it, so I didn't go. I had peace about coming here. Now, what I want you to learn today is simply this. That the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit through men. Now, for us to be sure of God's will in regarding to prayer, we have to read and we have to study and we have to obey the Word of God. And it is when we obey the Word of God and then we come into the presence of God day by day in humility, in submission to God, the Holy Spirit, it is then that He will give us the confirmation about all the trivialities of life. Now we have to leave it there. Time is gone. But there is much more that could be said about prayer. But let me say this to you in closing. When I was a lad growing up, and I've told you this, and I'll keep on telling you this, my father used to say to me, son, don't look at the crowbar and the shovel. You won't dig a post hole by looking at it. He used to say, pick it up and use it. And when I picked up the crowbar and the shovel and worked with it, I dug a hole. And the only way you are going to ever learn anything about prayer is to spend time in prayer, talking to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to your spirit and to confirm with you that what the Word of God is saying and what the Holy Spirit is confirming is of God. You'll never know what prayer is until you pray. Let us unite together in prayer. Our Father, as we talk to you, we're consciously aware that you've heard every word that's been uttered. You see every motive, and you know who we are, and you still cry out, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will forgive us and you'll heal our land. Oh, Father, teach us how to talk. Teach us how to pray. May your grace and your mercy be kind to us now. Amen. Please have a time of quiet meditation.